Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, real quick, because there's a lot of baseball going on, I got to give you this quick giant thing. It's kind of like shades of Rex Ryan, in my opinion, at least. And it's John Mara. John Mara said he warned Brian Daboll not to get too big of an ego after his first great season. And, quote, you know, we kid him. Right now he's Bono walking around New York City, but I've told him it doesn't take too long to go from Bono to Bozo. That's a direct shot at Rex Ryan, in my opinion. Heavy set coach. And fans love him. Players adore him. Early success. Went all GQ and kind of became Bozo.
I thought of somebody else.
Okay, who do you have?
And I'll let Big Mac break the tie. Ben McAdoo, 100%.
That's your guy?
Ben McAdoo. Because, A, John Mara had Ben McAdoo.
Okay, I'd buy that.
And if you want to go with the clown, I mean, think about the clown suit he wore for his first press conference.
Now, that the second year after they went to the playoffs and they had that winning season, he showed up to camp that next year, completely different
slicked
hair. He had the Gordon
hair.
Gecko slick back
little
hair,
cocky.
Sunglasses.
See, I was thinking of Rex
lost a little
because
weight.
Rex did the gastric bypass. He started wearing suits. He's on the cover of GQ.
No. I'm sorry, bro. That's a complete shot at Ben McAdoo. And Big Mac's right, and I forgot about that aspect of it. When Ben showed up for year two,
he was different.
He became like more suave. I remember the hair. Like, he slicked back his hair, became this badass, and then did something which I didn't think was possible. After making the playoffs in his first year, managed to not even survive the second year.
Yeah, which has never happened.
I mean, that is almost impossible. Now, I think John Mara put a little bit too much blame on Ben for the Eli Manning situation, which sort of led to that. But nevertheless, my interpretation is this has nothing to do with Rex. This is a clear, direct shot at Ben McAdoo.
I mean, I'm looking at his introductory press conference with Jerry Reese, and the hair is fine. It's a normal haircut. You know, the suit was crazy big. And then I'm looking at a picture of him. You guys are right. I'm even looking at a picture of him with his two beautiful kids and his wife at the introductory press conference. Hold on, guess these.
God bless you.
Thank you. Pardon me. Then all of a sudden he showed up, and the whole thing is slicked back.
Yeah,
plenty of gel. Yeah, how about that?
That's who he's talking about. Like,
is he still getting paid?
Yeah, he works for somebody. What team does he work for?
Isn't he the offensive coordinator in Carolina?
Well, he
was.
Was
that where he went?
Is he still there?
I forgot where
he's not anymore. Yeah, they changed regimes.
Here, Ben McAdoo, is he off? No. Oh, he most recently served.
Yeah.
Let's see where he's at.
Is he anywhere now?
He may not be. Hang on.
He's looking for a gig.
I mean, he wasn't a bad guy.
He was a bad guy.
He will not return as Panthers offensive coordinator.
Yeah, so he's out of football for now. He was a consultant with the Cowboys for a year, and he was the QB coach of Jacksonville for a year.
Let me just say this real quick. Hopefully, he's okay and all that stuff. But, Frank Reich comes in, and obviously a head coach comes in. Rightfully so, you want to bring your people in. So I'm totally down with that. You want to clean house, bring in all your own guys. Guys that you work with before, respect, like, whatever the case may be. But I could make an argument that the last 6 weeks of that year, last year, both the head coach of the Panthers and Ben McAdoo did a really good job.
Well, shouldn't they have kept the interim head coach that they had, Craig?
I think they should have.
No, I agree. Oh, and they decided not to.
Not a shot at Frank Reich, but you know, Dave Tepper, the owner, said, listen, I'll judge these guys based on their performance. They can earn it.
And that's not what he did.
They clearly earned it.
Right. But now, that's not what he did.
No, I agree. I agree, which is why you know, there's not a lot of respect for Dave Tepper as the owner of the Panthers.
No offense. I mean, to fire Steve Wilks, but then keep Ben McAdoo would have made absolutely no sense. No offense to Ben McAdoo.
I agree.
So when you kind of get rid of the entire staff, or get rid of the head coach, you're going to get rid of the entire staff. But John Mara is absolutely 1,000% just destroying Ben McAdoo.
And that's what he's doing. You told me that they held a grudge about Joe Judge because of the, you know, that press conference, you know, the attitude, all the stuff that went down, you know, in the last couple months of his tenure here, I get that part. But unless I missed it, and maybe I did, certainly possible. I don't think I was here when McAdoo got fired. Ben McAdoo was at least apparently like a good dude.
But he botched the benching of Eli Manning.
Okay.
And I think to the Maras,
but they
and to
allowed
a lot of
him to
fans,
do that too, didn't they?
Craig, I 1,000% agree with you, but yeah, it's easier to blame the dead guy.
Of course, but that, if they wanted Eli Manning to play and keep the streak going, not have Geno Smith come in, they absolutely could have mandated that.
I 100% agree with you, but I think this is the way to kind of cover yourself. It was Ben's fault. There's a reason why McAdoo didn't last the season. I mean, think about it. He makes the playoffs in his first year. Just imagine this, Giant fans, and I'm not saying this is going to happen. Imagine Brian Daboll gets fired in the middle of next year. Like, you hear me say that right now.
No shot, right.
You think I'm crazy. Like, that's not possible. That's what it would have felt like if I told you after the first season of Ben McAdoo, he's not making the next year. That's how crazy it was that it went so bad so quick.
Yeah,
and that's the reference John Mara's thinking about, because I actually do believe this about the Giants. I think they pay less attention to the Jets than we give them credit for.
I think when the Jets are successful and they're the talk of the fan and us here at WFAN and the back page of the newspapers, then I think the Giants pay attention, much like, you know, the Yankees would to the Mets.
I'm not speaking on the Yankees here, but what I will say is that the only time I think the Giants were ever really upset with the Jets, and it had to do with Rex, was when they covered up the Super Bowl trophies. And that certainly turned out to be like, you could ask Victor Cruz the next time he's on your TV show, hey, what'd you think of that? It pissed everybody off. It angered people. It was a rallying cry. Other than that,
I don't think
the Giants care about the Jets.
No, listen, I think if you're a random player, you don't care regardless about anybody, right?
I'm talking about ownership, too. I'm talking about everybody.
I think, listen, the Giants have long been the team of record in New York for all the obvious reasons that we don't need to enumerate again. But when the New York Jets had that little mini run with Rex Ryan, although the Giants obviously were coming off Super Bowls, I get that, they're aware of it. They pay attention.
No. They were bothered because Rex was arrogant
Rex
about it and took shots at the Giants.
Right.
That's where that came. I don't think it was about the Jets' success. I think if the Jets have great success this year with Aaron Rodgers, I don't think John Mara is going to care that much. I think it's different. I think the Ryan era was different because Rex directly went after them.
Well, I don't know. Maybe care is not the right word. I think if the Giants suck and the Jets are doing really well, I think there's maybe that added pressure of we can't allow the New York Jets to be the team of record in New York, but I could be wrong.
I think of all the teams in this town where there's like the local New York, New Jersey, New York, New York rivalry,
yeah,
I think the Giants care less about the Jets than any other two or three teams in sports in this area.
Can you guys look up McAdoo's salary with the Jets, with the Giants, pardon me?
He must have done well because he didn't work for a few years.
He must have been at least $3 or $4 million a year, right?
I think so.
Had to be a 5-year deal, I bet.
Because, Craig, I think after they fired him, I don't think he took any kind of coaching job for 3 years.
No, it couldn't have been. Was it that long?
I'm telling you, I think he was out of. I think he sat back, and good for him, by the way, and collected his paycheck. I don't think he was back.
So he was with the Giants. He left in 17. Yeah, you're right. He didn't get back into football till 20 with the Jaguars.
Right.
And then he's worked every year, 20 with the Jaguars quarterback coach, because you said consultant with the Cowboys in 21, OC for the Panthers in 22. And as of now, I don't think he has been added to his staff, at least that I'm aware of. I may not. You know, it's also interesting. He was on that Packers staff the last time Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl.
Yes, he was. Right? That's what added to his value.
Right. That's probably how he got the gig in the first place. It's kind of like there's a lot of similarities, actually, to Nathaniel Hackett. Because Hackett didn't call the plays either.
If you remember what happened, so he's the offensive coordinator under Tom Coughlin, does a great job. Eli has one of the best seasons of his career. They forced Tom out. McAdoo's being interviewed for the job, but then I think, correct me if I'm wrong, he interviewed McAdoo for the Eagles. And I think the Giants got nervous and said, oh, my God, we can't lose him to the Eagles.
Right.
And that may have put some more pressure on them to hire and promote Ben McAdoo as head coach.
Remember how everybody and their mama wanted, what's his name that went to Carolina?
Mama?
Matt
Rhule?
Yeah, the Giants wanted Matt Rhule in the worst way,
if you remember correctly. I do, and I remember Matt Rhule had his introductory press conference, very similar to Joe Judge, and everybody was fawning over him.
Yes.
Oh, my God, what a press conference.
That's
this guy's amazing.
We missed out on a winner.
And it's a reminder that these press conferences mean nothing, and here's more proof of it. Nick Sirianni was destroyed for his press conference when he joined the Philadelphia
Eagles. By the way, by Eagles fans.
Yes.
Now, someone, Junket Irishman, my main man, did point something out that has to be said, I think, to be fair. Anytime you want to talk about Ben McAdoo and him becoming a clown or bozo, if that's who John Mara is referring to, we must tell the rest of the story. And the rest of the story is that Ben McAdoo begged the New York Giants draft Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, hold on.
And that's got to be part of the story that's told.
Who leaked that story?
I imagine Ben McAdoo.
Oh, okay. So Ben McAdoo, Patrick Mahomes becomes a star, leaks out, hey, I wanted Patrick Mahomes. What a concept.
Listen to me.
What a freaking concept.
That
and you buy
it. Ben McAdoo would be thought in greater terms than Bill Parcells right now if he had gotten his wish.
Did he really want that, or is that him kind of changing the narrative after his tenure here went south? And here's my other question.
Yep.
As great as Mahomes is, would he have developed here? What would have happened
if he was
here?
That's a good question. I always wonder that about guys. Like, if a certain guy, you know, had great success in one place, does that mean because he's just so wickedly talented, he would have eventually been successful at any place?
And I don't know, man.
Like, you know, Brady's a great example of that, right?
Yeah.
You know, Steve Young's a great example of that. Probably even better than Brady, really. Like, situation sometimes creates the opportunity to become a star.
Yeah, you need the perfect mix, I think. So I can't say Mahomes would have been a bum by any stretch, but he ended up in a perfect situation. Andy Reid, one of the great coaches of all time. By the way, that's a big part of your issue, big part of your flaw.
What's that?
You could have an incredibly talented team. But if you don't have the right coach in the NFL, what's going to happen? The Kansas City Chiefs have the proven right coach. So for anyone to put the Jets over the Chiefs until Robert Saleh proves he can coach in the NFL and win big games is a flawed argument.
No, because he's got Nathaniel Hackett here.
What does that mean?
What we've learned
the
about
guy who didn't call plays with Aaron Rodgers, the guy who's a failed head coach.
That's overrated.
No, coaching isn't overrated.
Yeah. No.
And the Kansas City Chiefs have it. No, coaching's overrated.
Here's what we know about Robert Saleh.
Coaching's overrated.
No.
That's what you just said.
Calling the plays is overrated.
Forget that. The head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs is one of the great winners we've ever seen.
There's no doubt
about it. Robert Saleh has never had a 500 season as an NFL head coach. That's not overrated. That matters.
He had Zach Wilson quarterback, and of course he did.
So now we're just blaming the quarterback?
Yes. And the coach a little bit, too, of course.
Andy Reid's going to the Hall of Fame. We don't know about Robert Saleh. That's a huge edge for Kansas City.
I am with you on that. Andy Reid calls the plays there also, and he's a brilliant offensive coordinator and head coach, obviously. Yes, there's no disputing that.
Thank you.
The Robert Saleh part of this is, and I think this does need to change, Robert Saleh, for the majority of the game, is a spectator. Mm-hmm. He don't call plays. He doesn't even talk to the defensive side of the ball, which is what his prowess is supposed to be. And I think that's got to change. I think this is obviously year three in what's been a failed year one and two, especially losing six games in a row to end the last season when the playoffs were a lock. This is the hot seat year for him.
What do you specifically want to have change? You want him to be more hands-on with the defense?
Yes, I do. I did.
Rex Ryan was hands-on with the defense. The biggest problem with Rex is that he didn't pay enough attention to the offense. So don't you like the idea of a CEO head coach?
I don't. I think you have to be like. Listen, I know a lot of people talk about Robert Saleh. The guys love him. He's awesome from Tuesday to Saturday, which I know does mean something as far as managing 53 guys and all that crap. But I don't want my head coach to be watching the game on the sideline.
No.
I want him actively involved in the game.
So I guess we sort of agree. It's a caveat here. I don't mind that he doesn't call plays on defense. I want him to have his hands in on everything. Now, on the sidelines, should he be able to overrule the offensive coordinator when he's calling a pass play on a third and short? Absolutely. And I want my head coach to do that.
Right, because it ends with him. You're right.
So from that aspect, I agree with you. But I don't mind the fact that he is like a CEO head coach.
That's fine.
I don't mind that.
That's fine. Listen, I think he'll be a little bit different because it hasn't worked the first 2 years. But I think we do agree. We're a little off from where each other are. But that's fine. Yeah. Like, you're right. If it's 3rd and 7 and he hears in his ear, fullback up the middle, he better go, whoa, wait a minute. We're not running that play.
And you know what's funny about this is that we go through all the successful head coaches in the NFL. They all have a different way of doing it. I mean, Nick Sirianni is all just about his, hands-on with the offense, forgets the defense exists, right? So that can still work. The Eagles went to the Super Bowl. We talked about Andy Reid, Bill Belichick. Like, the strategies of how hands-on you are with one side of the ball and if you're a CEO head coach, it can work. Like, there isn't one way that works better than others.
It goes back to our conversation of 2 hours ago. It works based on who your talent is.
Right, but you also have to put the talent in the best position to succeed. More in the NFL than any other sport.
Yeah, no doubt about it. If you don't, listen, you could be the greatest. Bill Parcells ain't winning Super Bowls without talent, right?
I agree. I think that, look at the Knicks over the next 2 weeks. And I use this as an example in that Julius Randle's not going to play basketball.
I don't even know Brunson's playing every one of these games.
So,
go ahead.
So when you watched the game against Miami last week, what was fascinating is Jalen Brunson did not play the fourth quarter, right? He ended up closing with a very unorthodox five, and they played the entire fourth quarter. It was Quentin Grimes, Emmanuel Quickley, R.J. Barrett, Josh Hart, and Hartenstein, okay? He put those guys in position to close out a game.
Right.
A group that I never would have predicted going in. None of us would have.
Because
they haven't played that much together. So there is a lot on the head coach. He had Jalen Brunson ready to come back into that game with 5 minutes to go and waved them off because that unit was playing well together. So the win or loss in that game against Miami, a lot of it was on the head coach. Because think about that decision he made. That's not just, it's obvious, I'm putting out there.
He had a sense for the game, a sense for how to get guys on the court. You're right. I'll give you real quick on the Knicks because I'm fascinated by the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Is Obi Toppin starting for Julius Randle?
So here's my answer to that because I think this is also fascinating. Tell me if it's not. You know the last time Obi Toppin played 20 minutes in a game?
Honest to God, I couldn't.
December.
Yeah, right.
Like, Obi may start at the four, but is he going to close at the four? And I'll give you a great example. That game against Miami, Julius gets hurt first half. Obi Toppin started the second half. He played, I think, 7 or 8 minutes in the third quarter, and then we never saw him again.
Right.
So you can start him all day. The question is he going to close?
Yeah, there must be something about his practice. Well, there must be. I mean, and Thibodeau famously has put guys in the doghouse and for no reason and every reason, I don't know, but if Obi Toppin doesn't get 35 minutes a game for the final five games, then you know exactly where you stand with Obi Toppin.
Yeah, look, Obi Toppin's been blocked by Julius for the last few years.
Right, which is why you got five games now and Julius is out.
I agree.
Like, Obi Toppin by default should be getting those minutes, right?
He won't. The minutes will basically be RJ at the four, more Josh Hart, more Quentin Grimes. Like, it's going to be everybody else stepping up.
Small lineup, right. I got it.
And the proof that Obi Toppin has done here is exactly what we're going to see over the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
The idea that he's just blocked by Julius Randle is out the window. Tom Thibodeau doesn't like him.
I agree.
There's a reason that this guy, keep this in mind, what I just said, because this is crazy to me. He hasn't played 20 minutes in a game since December. Yeah,
it makes again, maybe we just fell in love with the kid because of his athleticism or dunks or he's local or whatever the case may be. But you talk about a doghouse, that dude's in it.
Well, here's what we're going to find out. So Frank Ntilikina was traded off a couple years ago, and he's never really found a niche in the NBA. Let's see what he does when he's somewhere else. And that'll be the proof of on if Thibodeau was right or not. Let's see what he is somewhere else.
That's fair, because it ain't working out here. And I'm not sure if that's Obi Toppin's fault. I honestly don't know.
He's done here, bro. In the next 2 weeks,
as long as Julius is here, I agree. There's no doubt. No doubt about it. Here is, let's see, Stan's in Roslyn. Stan, what do you got, buddy? Hi, Stan. Yeah, this is fun. Stan, you there, buddy? All right, good. Vito is in Staten Island. Vito, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing good, Craig. Cookie.
Yeah, thank you for telling me to take a walk at Miller Field. It helped.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. And I think you guys are up and coming.
We're already there.
I know you're there. But I want to ask you a couple of Jet questions and Giant questions.
Yeah, but first off, just so people know the background, Vito's having some health issues. And I told him that he should go outside, beautiful this time of year, go for a long walk as much as he could tolerate. You'll get some air and start feeling better about himself. And apparently you've done that and you're feeling pretty good.
Definitely, definitely. I owe it all to you. If you didn't say that to me, I wouldn't have done it.
I'm glad you did. It's time to start living again, Vito.
Yes, and have some sausages and peppers.
Right. Right.
Can I get to the question?
Now, the real way to do it, because of your age and your health issues, it's okay only for you, nobody else,
is to
take some semolina bread, carve it out, put some nice sausage and peppers and onions in there, ladle a couple ladles of sauce, cut it in half, put some provolone and some mozzarella on top, wrap it up, take it on your walk, sit down on a park bench in Midland, pop goes the weasel because the weasel goes pop.
And especially at this stage of my life, at 66 years old coming up.
Right. Zach, you owe it to yourself to have that sandwich.
And I want to ask you, Craig.
Mm-hmm.
You think McAdoo could have handled Beckham a little bit better?
Coughlin did?
Yeah.
No, I don't. If you're talking about Beckham when he was the immature, wild child that he kind of was, no. I mean, Tom Coughlin was the famously militant about how he coached guys and demanded things from guys. And as much as OBJ is, by all accounts, a gym rat who loves the workout, the practice, and all that stuff, if Coughlin couldn't handle it and wound up going soft on him, which he did, he would have walked all over McAdoo.
Ben McAdoo got the most out of Odell Beckham Jr. in his entire NFL career. No one got more out of Odell Beckham Jr. than Ben McAdoo.
Wow. Going back to now we're seeing the future, you got the cap on. Is he worth Aaron Rodgers a 1 and a 2, and even after 1 year?
So it's a good question, but to answer it and to be straight with you, I thought for sure they were going to have to give a first-round pick up, but what we've learned now is that they don't. So I think he's worth it, but apparently they're not giving up a first-round draft pick, so it's a moot point.
Is it history because of Brett Favre? Went to 2 Super Bowls and they gave up a 4?
No, I don't think Brett Favre, it's a storyline because of the similarities behind it, but Brett Favre coming to thank you, Vito. I'm glad you're doing well, buddy. You know, I wouldn't use the Brett Favre scenario here to predict what happens with Aaron Rodgers. I was talking with Mangold about that this morning. They're similar in that late 30s, Green Bay, may only be for a year, et cetera. But as Evan has pointed out many times, number one, Brett Favre didn't really want to come here. That's number one. And number two, what was number two?
Yeah, what is number two?
Number two.
The package they gave up?
Yeah, I don't remember what number two was. I don't care. I forget what number two was. I really do. I forget. Mangold told a great story. So I asked him, when did he find out that Brett Favre was going to be their quarterback? Now, if you remember, as you do, it was a Monday night preseason game or a Sunday night game in Cleveland when word broke that Brett Favre had agreed and the trade was on between Green Bay, whatever it was, right? And Brett Favre's coming to the Jets. Right. So the Mangold was telling me this morning that they had no idea. They were in the locker room getting ready to take the field for a preseason game against the Cleveland Browns. And one of the executive assistants, whatever, came into the locker room and there was like a powwow at Chad Pennington's locker.
Mm.
But nobody knew why, because they're about to go out and play a game, albeit a preseason game, right? Next thing you know, Chad's leaving the locker room. They had the Jets' private jet at whatever airport they fly into in Cleveland. And Chad legit just walked out of the locker room, and they never saw him again.
Wow.
And then I guess a little bit later on, all of a sudden, they're in that locker room. I don't remember the exact time of night, all that stuff. And he goes, Brett Favre just walked into the locker room like a wild, wild west cowboy.
Were they excited?
It turned out that they were very excited.
Okay.
But here's the other thing. And I this one actually bothered me. You know, the New York Jets are 8-3. It was after the Bronco game or the Tennessee game, whichever one it was, right? And the New York Jets now have a legitimate shot. Like, we're 8-3, and Brett Favre's balling. And obviously, the season went south, and we find out after the year Brett Favre needs surgery on the shoulder. I think he had 22 interceptions that year. He had half of those interceptions in the last 5 weeks of the season when his shoulder was shot.
Right.
And I asked Nick this morning, I go, well, was it hard to keep that secret from going public that Brett Favre is a bad shoulder? Never knew.
Interesting.
They never shared it with the guys that Brett Favre's shoulder was bunk.
There's a lot of interesting things from what you said. First of all, one of the big differences between Favre and Rodgers that I actually like is that Rodgers is coming off a bad year. Favre was coming off a great year. They won 13 games. He had a really good year. They got to the NFC Championship game. Rodgers is the opposite. I kind of like that. That's number one.
But you like that he needs to prove something?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Like he's coming off. I like the fact he's off a down year. The other thing is, and this relates to Lamar Jackson, because I think it's a fascinating sports debate that we could have about many athletes that have played in this town.
Yeah.
Would you rather have a guy hurt, battle through it, but suck? Or what Lamar Jackson said. Lamar Jackson goes on social media the other day and says, look, I was hurt. If I played, I would have let my teammates down. Now, would you rather have the toughness of playing through injury, but you're bad? Carlos Beltran's first year as a Met? Brett Favre, second half of the year in his 1 year with the Jets? Or would you rather have a guy say maybe DeGrom? Hey, look, I'm hurt. I can go out and pitch. I'll pitch to a 5 ERA. I'll leave it all out there for you. Or I'm going to shut it down until I'm healthy. There are so many examples of both.
Yeah.
And what's the right answer, Craig?
Obviously, there isn't one, but I know. And CSNY, thank you. Mets coming up in an hour. Here's the deal. I think, you know, the emotional aspect of being a fan, you want to know for a fact in your heart that that guy left it on the field and literally has nothing left, right? That makes you feel better about a guy. Because there's so many guys nowadays, more so than, you know, when Favre was here, which is how many years ago now, 20 years ago, whatever it was?
2008.
Yeah, so I think people have changed, athletes have changed. You want to feel like that guy did everything he could to bring me a winner. But to answer your very specific question, if I know the team's going to suck or the player's going to suck, I don't want him out there.
Well,
right?
If Kellen Clemens, as a 24-year-old, however old he was then, if Kellen Clemens steps in for Brett Favre over the last 5 weeks, are the Jets better? Now, I don't know answer to that.
Right, because we only know how it did turn out, and it wasn't good.
Right, but that's the opposite, like we saw with the Ravens.
Thing, you know, the aspect of it that what Nick told me this morning that bothered me is they kept that a secret from the players.
Yeah.
So if you're a Nick Mangold, right, who's, I think he said he was 24 at the time, right, starting a huge, you know, Jet Hall of Fame career, and you're like, wait, we're 8-3. This guy's slinging it all over the field. You're well aware, as are the wide receivers and then everybody else, that Brett Favre's now a problem.
Right.
And at no point do you disclose to the guys that, hey, he's going to battle through because that's what he does, but he ain't right?
What's the good of that?
I don't know.
That's my question, because if you don't want... Here's the key. Obviously, Nick Mangold knowing, in theory, well, what's wrong with that, right? You don't want your opponent knowing. If more people in that room know that Brett Favre is hurt, isn't there a greater chance that someone's going to leak it to the Ian Rappaports of the world? That we're going to find out how injured he is and then the opponents know? So wouldn't you rather keep it to only two people so it doesn't leak?
No, I understand that, the competitive advantage of the other team not knowing you're nursing something. I just
think that that is...
And to be fair, what was the option, right?
Right. The option is not to play. But we just saw with Lamar Jackson, when you do that, people question you. When Jacob DeGrom does that, we question you. Now, you go out and you're not healthy, ask Carlos Beltran. Ask Max. I'll even say Scherzer. Scherzer was probably hurt when he got pounded by the Padres. But guess what? I still rip him for it. Giannotti still rips him for it. Like, we all are mad at him, but what would we rather have happen? Him shut it down and say, you know what, I'm hurt? There's no right answer to it, but we've seen both ends of it. Right in front of our eyes, we've seen both ends of it, right?
You know the other thing that bothered I found out this morning? All the other players on the Jets and why many of them for a lifetime have resented Brett Favre?
Go ahead.
They were all forced to take a human resource exam.
All because of what he did with the other pictures? Yeah, I can see that pissing them off.
Like, they're like, come on, man. Like, what? I got to sit through what? I got to, like we have to do now as part of our day. Like, every year at your employees, we take an online exam, right? We see the silly videos, and we answer a bunch of questions, and okay, we've taken our exam, right? We all do it. Yeah, the Jet players were forced to take, like, an online exam about not sending pictures of your junk to random women you've never met before.
What a year. What a year that was. The worst 9-7 season of all time.
Well, they were 8-3, right? Oh,
that's why it's the worst 9-7 season of all time.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Hey, why not a little Smashing Pumpkins ticket giveaway to get you into your weekend? Tickets went on sale officially this morning. But we got a pair of tickets for you right now. We'll take the third caller, numero tres, at 866-540-WFAN. And you'll have tickets to see the Smashing Pumpkins, the World is a Vampire Tour at Northway Health at Jones Beach Theater in Wantagh, August 30th. And if you don't win tickets from us, you could probably still go online and get them this weekend at LiveNation.com. Evan Roberts, Craig Carton, good to have you here. Big night in basketball, by the way, for those of you who pay attention to NBA. Tomorrow is all about NCAA. You got both games, 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock. And for those of you that are now all in on baseball, as many of you are, Mets start in about just under an hour, and the Yankees are back at it tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock at the stadium.
Tonight, personally, is a multi-television
kind of night. Oh, yeah, for you it is, because you got the Mets, you got big net game, big Nick game.
Big Nick game.
Yeah.
Friday night SmackDown right before WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
So when you throw in Knicks-Cavs playoff preview, we think.
Right. No, that's a lock. You're out on that.
Nets-Hawks at home, huge game for Brooklyn, trying to hold on to the sixth spot. And then game two of the baseball season, which is my favorite day of the year. That is a tremendous sports
now,
night.
Now, I'm trying to figure out, because I took a look at all the games tonight, so I know what's going on. I'm fascinated by your pick on tonight's Nets-Atlanta game.
Fascinated?
Yeah.
What are you fascinated about?
You know why I'm fascinated.
Because
I want to know who you obviously you're rooting for the Nets. That's your team. I want to know who you truly think is going to win the game.
Oh, Atlanta. No question about it. First of all, the Hawks are coming. The only thing that's going for me is that the Hawks have been, I don't know if you've seen these numbers, the most symmetrical team you've ever seen. Win-loss, win-loss. Like, there's some stat where they're 1-1 in their last two, 4-4 in their last eight, 8-8 in their last 16, 22 in their last 44.
Right.
They're like the definition of a 500 team.
Yeah, even Steven, right.
But the Nets win the other night against the Rockets was so uninspiring. And so depressing. They played a bad basketball game for 45 out of 48 minutes. It's tough to exert a lot of confidence. So why would you be stunned by that?
Just wondering.
I'm not a confident guy right now.
No, I know. I know. I just
That's why I'm so thankful that the Knicks beat the Heat the other night. Thank you again for that.
Helps you out a little bit. Helps you out.
Julius goes down. Jalen doesn't play the fourth quarter. And you guys win anyway? Thank you, sir.
Here's Joe and Astoria on the Fan and hanging on for a bit. Joe, how are you?
How you doing?
Very well, sir. Sorry about the wait. What's up?
That's fine. Great to hear you guys. You guys are great.
Thank
I
you.
Love listening to you guys.
Very kind.
Listen, there was a guy named Jerry Fleming. He played. He was drafted by the Giants in 1953. He hurt his arm playing. So he turned to softball. You guys were talking about softball.
Yeah.
The girl had 12 no-hitters. He had over 100 no-hitters. He averaged 15 strikeouts a game. Mm-hmm. He played in the 1960 softball World Softball Championship.
Yes.
They came in seventh and 170,000 teams. This guy was great.
Isn't he the guy that was down at the University of Texas forever?
No, I don't think so, Seth.
No? Okay, my bad then. I thought there was this, you know, because I remember as a kid, this up will make me seem even older and predate Evan. You remember the king in his court or no?
Right, he beat them.
Okay.
He beat those guys. I was going to tell you, that was the next thing.
So, Evan, if you don't know what the, Evan, if you know what it is, I'll stop. But the king in his court, there were, I think, four guys, maybe five, who they were like the Harlem Globetrotters of softball,
absolutely,
right? And they would barnstorm around America, and they would challenge the best softball players in any city in America, okay? And again, there was only, I think, I want to say four guys, maybe five, in the field, and they beat everybody. And, like, blew them out.
Yes.
It was crazy.
Yeah, but no, he had beat them.
Got it.
He had beat that. Their team had beat them. And in 1946,
yeah,
he played in the Big Bambino. They won the championship in New York City in Central Park.
Yep.
And the Big Bambino had given him the trophy.
Nice. So, Joe, do me a favor, because I do want to hear a lot more of this. And it just fits so well for our Saturday programming. But I appreciate you hanging on. And God bless you. Have a great weekend. Yeah. The King and his court were a spectacle because they beat, like, major leaguers. And there's only four dudes on the team.
I am fascinated by you today. You have loved not only telling but listening to old guy stories. Usually, you have such a quick hook.
Yeah, I'll tell you why.
You on your own brought up Casey Stengel talking to Congress. God
forbid. That's right.
We say anything about Casey Stengel.
That's right.
And then you're listening to this guy as if it's interesting.
Because
I'm stunned by
you. I'll tell
you
why. Because some old guys have great stories to tell that we should listen to.
So those are great stories.
Some old guys are just boring. I pick out the old guys that aren't boring.
Well, maybe because you're becoming an old guy, that's not boring.
Evan, it is certainly on the table. Because one day, I would say when I'm 78 years old and I hang them up and you're still here, I'm going to call you. And I'm going to say something like this. Evan, do you remember many years ago that when a guy walked across the Brooklyn Bridge in a Speedo? Oh, yeah, it was awesome. All the good old days when you could even walk across the Brooklyn Bridge, which, of course, you can't now because of the trolleys.
It's coming.
Yeah. I wonder if the fan will ever have another young buck willing to do things to become successful and create attention.
No, there's already a guy here who would.
I don't think so.
Oh, absolutely.
At WFAN? No.
In our company, yes.
Sadly, there's not.
You don't think Sean Morash is like that? The guy set up a Ring doorbell camera to react to a Giants week one victory. I think he fits the exact mold you just described.
I would hope so. But a willingness to go beyond, hey, I saw the game last night, here's my opinions on it. Like, to be creative, take chances, do things, interact with an audience, go out in the streets, press the flesh, you know, come up with benchmark ideas that people remember years later.
Like Truth Serum Tuesday.
Truth Serum Tuesday.
That's my favorite one.
Is it?
Yes.
Mets fans for Yankees.
That's my least favorite one. I don't like that.
Why? You said it a million times, so you bought into it.
Well, I'll tell you this.
You went to the church and everything.
Greg, you want to hear something kind of funny?
Yeah, of course.
Guess what I'm doing Monday? Ask me. Say, what are you doing Monday?
What are you doing on Monday, Ev?
I'm a Mets fan for Yankees.
Why, who the Yankees play Monday?
The Phillies!
Oh, nice, nice, nice.
And
where's that?
At Yankee Stadium.
Ooh.
I know. The Yankees are playing the San Francisco Giants and the Philadelphia Phillies to open the year. Bizarre.
Crazy way to start the season, huh?
But I've got no shame, and I think every Met fan should feel this way. Yankee fans, too, vice versa. If you can help me out, kind of like the Nets against the Heat the other night, I'll go to church all day, baby.
Hey, did the Yankees make a trade for a pitcher from Tampa?
Colton Brewer.
Oh, the former Cy Young Award winner?
I don't believe so, no.
The man with the 5.5 career ERA.
Oh, is
and he's reporting to AAA, so I don't know.
So it's a nothing deal?
I have no idea what's going on.
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
to add some more bullpen arms for the train service when they call a guy up and send the guy down.
Yeah, but they just they made it seem like the roster for opening day wasn't quite what you're going to see even in the real near future. They're still waiting to make a move for a pitcher. Then they trade for a pitcher and send him to AAA.
You sound very disappointed about
this. I'm not disappointed. I'm just, I don't know what's going on. You can't keep this larger bench forever. You're going to have to get 13 pitchers.
In fact, I'm jealous. I wish the Mets had five guys on their bench. You're seeing this tonight with Tommy Pham in the lineup. Yeah. The Mets should have five guys on their bench because it would allow them to carry like a competent major league bat that could DH against left-handed pitching as opposed to what we're seeing tonight with Tommy Pham playing left and Canada DH.
I was saying the same thing to Connor before the show. Not only that, I was telling Connor, you know, if you're a Yankee fan, you know, yesterday was a very interesting lineup because the New York Yankees need to keep Giancarlo Stanton in the field because that way you get everybody you want on the field,
Were you listening at 6 o'clock last night?
That's right. That's right. It's very important. You know, Stanton DHing changes the dynamic of the Yankee lineup.
It is their best lineup.
Stanton in the field, all of a sudden, you get everybody you want in the lineup in the lineup.
If Stanton's DHing, think about this.
Yep.
One of DJ Donaldson, Glaber's not playing, and both Aaron Hicks and Oswaldo Cabrera are playing. That's not your best lineup.
No, that's what I was saying to Connor before the show.
You also mentioned to me that Aaron Boone's managerial style reminds you a lot of Casey Stengel before the show.
He went for it.
Okay. He went all the way.
He went for it.
I sure did. Maybe he'll be good at stand-up after all.
I think he's sneaky funny because he did a tweet the other day or a couple weeks ago that was very funny, but same dry sense of humor. He tweets out a picture of like this ridiculous apartment. Like,
who's this? Connor did?
Connor. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, look at the view from my apartment tonight or something like that. And everybody's like, well, what does FAM pay? That's crazy. And meanwhile, he literally pulled it from a magazine. He was just effing around and it made me laugh.
Well, it's the quiet ones that you got to be careful with.
He's sneaky funny, this guy.
Well, we're going to find out on June 12th, I can tell you that. Because he's doing 60 seconds on stage.
I can't wait.
At the Paramount. After Big Mac tells Pete Alonso to his face that he's got to stop kissing the fans' ass.
That's going
to
be awesome.
That is going to be awesome.
That's
going to
be great.
You better bring some nunchucks or something.
For Alonso? Nah.
Remember what Pete Alonso said when he got ragdolled to the ground by that 70-year-old man?
He could put someone in the hospital.
He goes, if I get angry, it is, you don't want it.
What you should do.
I'm just telling you, Big Mac.
It's going to cost you a few dollars, but you should make a stubby clap jersey.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And wear that. Wear it to the show that night.
Matter of fact, I'm going to introduce you as Stubby Clap's brother. That's what I'm going to do.
Whatever.
You totally got to do that, bro.
Come on, man. You're a Yankee fan. This is a good moment for you. Good moment for you. Take a shot at the face of the Mets.
I did, and I spoke to him.
There you go. Oh, it's going to be great.
There's a big difference between speaking to somebody on the phone and going toe-to-toe with a rabid fan base of that man there.
Not just that. People are going to be drinking when Mets and Yankees don't play that night. Matter of fact, the Subway Series starts the next day.
That only adds to it, Craig. That's going to be a rabid
Mets fan base. It's going to go like this. Everybody. Is it okay if I bring a Yankee fan on stage?
Yeah. Yeah, but then when you say it's me, the whole place will erupt in cheers.
Stubby Claps' brother.
You got to make me his grandson or something.
Whatever you want to be. Whatever you want to be. It's all good by me.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Carton and Roberts on the Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Yeah!
We got a busy night of sports tonight. I guess the Ranger game doesn't matter anymore. They had their shot to catch the Devils. That's out the window after last night. Losing to New Jersey, so they're 4 points back with like 7 games to go. So that one's out. Sorry about that. Now, New Jersey can still catch Carolina. They're only a point behind them, though they've played an extra game. And where that matters significantly, and just think about how this is going to set up right now. The Islanders are 3 points ahead of Pittsburgh for that top wild card spot. Here's why this matters. Right now, the Islanders would play Carolina or whomever wins the Metro. The team that doesn't win the Metro plays the Rangers, and the two winners would face in the second round of the playoffs. So we are online for like a miniature local hockey tournament. If the Devils pass Carolina, you're looking at the Devils and the Islanders in the playoffs for the first time in decades. Hasn't happened since the 80s. I don't remember it personally. With the Rangers taking on Carolina. If the Rangers beat Carolina, you know they would either play the Devils or Islanders in the second round, which is nuts. If the Devils don't catch Carolina, it's Carolina against the Islanders, Rangers against the Devils. So we are almost guaranteed, assuming the Islanders can hold down to that top wildcard spot, some kind of local first round series with the potential bracket being set up for a second round local hockey series. So that's awesome. But the point is tonight's Ranger game really doesn't matter unless you take part in a New York sports parlay. And I did the math on this. The Mets are playing tonight. They are minus 112 in Miami against the Marlins. The Rangers are playing tonight, like we mentioned. They're in Buffalo against the mediocre Sabres, and they're favored on the road at minus 142. The Knicks are underdogs, plus 140 in Cleveland against the Cavs. Obviously, Julius out for the rest of the regular season. And the Nets are actually home underdogs, which shows you that Vegas and sportsbooks have the same confidence I do in the Nets protecting home court and beating the Hawks. They're plus 102. So if you took the Knicks, Nets, the Rangers, and the Mets, and combine them all together, and you'll likely lose. I always want to give you that warning. As Craig always says, parlays are, you know, you're going to lose. All right, so you're doing it for fun. That adds up to plus 1463, $10 to win about 146 bucks. Want to do that with me, Big Mac, tonight, or are you out?
Yeah, I could jump in on that with you.
I would rank the confidence meter like this, all right?
Okay.
I'd put the Rangers number one.
Sure.
I'd put, it's baseball. It's
oh,
so.
The Mets number two.
Yeah, I got to put the Mets number two.
They're playing the Marlins.
What does that mean? It's baseball.
Oh, it's going to be an easy game.
Don't do that.
It's going
to
be.
Now, that's very unbecoming of you to do that crap, right?
Can't I just have some fun with you? Good
no.
Lord.
I just can't wait to figure out how you open with the Yankees tonight when they don't play in the overnight.
I can't wait to hear that. I'm going to talk about the Mets.
Sure you
will. And their sore pitcher, sure.
Can you believe they traded for Colton Brewer?
I know. I don't mind the trade. It's just you made it seem like the roster was hung up because of it. And then they sent him to AAA.
Don't spoil 2 a.m., okay? You got to save that material for 2:05.
You got plenty of me tonight. You got the bridge show and then again at 2 a.m.
It's a Big Mac sandwich, basically.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, I would rank the net. You know, Knicks are going to win tonight, believe it or not. They're going to win tonight. Cleveland's kind of in that dead man zone. They're not catching Philly. They're not falling back, obviously. And I think, you know, sometimes when a team loses a key player, and as much as I've ripped Julius, I can't deny the guy's had a great year. You know, my criticisms of Julius Randle can also go along side by side with the fact that the guy's had a great year for the most part. But they are, I think in the early going when you lose a key player and guys feel like they need to step up, I see this a lot. Teams will play well for a while, and eventually the lack of talent will catch up to you. So I'd put the Knicks ahead of the Nets. I put the Nets last. Because they're going to lose. Because they stink. That's why. They're terribly coached. I don't understand why Edmund Sumner can't get burned. All right, I'm not going to get into this. The point is, I think the Knicks are going to win tonight. What I think is fascinating, and I mentioned this earlier to Craig, is that the natural reaction is to say, this is a real opportunity for Obi Toppin. Because it is. He's, you know, he's probably going to start. I don't know if Tom Thibodeau's announced his lineup yet, but as we saw in the second half the other night against Miami, he started the second half after Julius went down. So the natural reaction is Obi's going to get a big opportunity here. And he will, but when push comes to shove, he may not play any more than we've seen him play. He still only may play 15 to 18 minutes a night. What this is going to lead to is a bigger role for RJ, who I think is number one on the list, a bigger role for Quentin Grimes, a bigger role for Josh Hart. Now, these guys already have big roles, but a bigger role. And so I think the way they're going to make up for Julius in terms of who's taking those shots, those 18 shots a game Julius takes, is it's going to be spread around amongst everybody. It's not going to be Obi Toppin, you know, playing 38 minutes a night and basically replacing Julius Randle. Why, you ask? Because Tom Thibodeau hates Obi Toppin. That's been obvious over the last 2.5 years. So it's really on everyone else to step up. And I would not, and this is the other thing. It goes back to the discussion we had about an hour ago. We talked about how Lamar Jackson actively on social media recently said, hey, I was hurt. I could have hurt my teammates if I went out there and played hurt. And he may be right. And then you bring up these other examples of guys who clearly played hurt and were not good. Carlos Beltran's first year with the Mets, he played injured. He wasn't good. We've seen it. Brett Favre played injured second half of the year, wasn't good. What do you want from an athlete? Do you want the athlete to play injured and probably not be effective? Or would you want the athlete to say, look, I'm not healthy. I'm not going to be good. I'm not going to play. And I think even as a Met fan, you could look at Scherzer and DeGrom. Max Scherzer, if you want to believe him, and I'm going to choose to, it's not making an excuse, I'm going to believe him. He was hurt last year. And he got bombed in the wild card games. And he did not pitch well against the Atlanta Braves. But he went out there. And he grinded it. And the knock on Jake, not in postseason games, obviously, but in the first part of the regular season, and even the year before that, was, hey, battle through it. Be tough. Come on. But what would you rather have? What would you rather have? You want the guy to battle through it and suck? Or you want the guy to say, look, I'm not healthy. I can't help the team. I think in the NBA with Julius, and that's why I bring this up again, because Randall's timetable is right around when the playoffs start. He is not going to be healthy for the playoffs. That doesn't mean he's not going to play. Doesn't mean he's not going to suit it up. I think in the NBA, you can get away with a limited version of yourself. And here's how. You may not play 38 minutes. You may not take 18 shots. You may be out there more as a decoy than anything else. But I think that sometimes, and I'll give you an example where I have not gone back on this despite not liking the guy, James Harden. James Harden, who I cannot stand, and I want a piece of him in the first round, even though the Nets are losing 4 or 5. I still do. James Harden was clearly hurt. He had a horrible hamstring injury, and he suited up, and he played game 5, 6, and 7, and he was a shell of his former self. And clearly wasn't the same guy. I appreciated, and I can say this years later, that he went out there and played. And I think in basketball, more than as a quarterback in the NFL or a starting pitcher in baseball, you can still play hurt, not take on the same load you've taken on when you're fully healthy and help your team to a degree. So my guess right now about Julius is I think he's going to play in the postseason. You know, for all my knocks on this guy, the one thing I'll say about him is the guy goes out and plays. We got to be fair about this. The guy goes out there and plays. And even the other night when he injures himself, he limps all across the court and still goes out and takes his two free throws, so he at least had the opportunity to stay in that game. And I thought for a second, I'll show you how, what's the opposite of naive? Cynical. That's the word I'm thinking of. I'll show you how cynical I am. And I'm going to take my L. I'll tell you how cynical I am, and I'll tell you how wrong I was. When Julius was limping around the court, I thought he was putting on a show. I'll be the first to tell you. I thought, all right, here we go again. Here's Julius acting like, you know, his ankle's going to fall off. Give me a freaking break. He's going to hit his free throws, and he's going to stay in the game. I was dead wrong about that. The guy's clearly hurt. And I apologize for having that cynicism. I did, though. But he went out. He took his two free throws. He limped off the court and was diagnosed with an injury that's going to keep him out for 2 weeks. But mark my words, I'm not saying he's going to be effective. It may be like Harden a couple of years ago. That guy is going to roll himself out and play in the postseason. That doesn't mean you may not curse him out, because he may go out and take 18 shots anyway. He may be incredibly ineffective and turn the ball over 7 times. He may not take on a diminished role. He may think, I'm Julius, get the hell out of my way. And you may end up hating him. But that guy's going to play. I just don't know if he's going to be healthy. But when they're in the postseason, and they will be, I laid this out earlier with Craig, the odds of the Knicks falling to, forget 6, because really, I know you want 5. The goal here is just to avoid the play-in tournament. They would basically have to lose 4 out of their last 5 games. They'd have to collapse. And not only would that have to happen, by the way, the Miami Heat would have to run the table. Does anybody think that's happening, by the way? Does anybody think that's going down? I know they play the Pistons and they play a tough Magic team. They play Philly on the road. They play Kyrie Irving and the Dallas Mavericks, which makes me sick. I got to root for Kyrie, who's a bold-faced liar. You know, I have laid off Kyrie Irving. The crap that he said the other day pisses me off, because you know what I don't like, Big Mac? I don't like liars. That's what I don't like.
Who does? Who walks around saying, oh, I'm a big fan of liars?
Yeah, but this one bothers me because he's lying about me, and I don't want him lying about me. I'm going to give you a part of this quote because I think I made my Julius point. We can move on.
Yeah, I think so.
He's talking about the Mavericks, blah, 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 blah. What does our future look like? I think that now, again, just where we are in the season and where other teams are positioned already, it kind of looks like a bit of a cluster bleep, to be honest with you, because we're 37-40 and we're trying to fight to get in the playoff game. It's not the expectations I don't think any of us had in that locker room and me getting traded midseason. Hey, this is the part where he lies. I didn't expect to ask for a trade at that point in the season, so I wanted to finish it out with Brooklyn, finish out with the season that we had going, and I didn't get a chance to do that. You didn't get a chance to do that because you told the Nets you won't play if you're not traded. That's why you didn't do that, dude. It's not just because you politely asked for a trade. You made it clear that if you're not traded, you won't play. So don't give me this horse crap that I wanted to finish it out with Brooklyn and finish out the season we had going. You did not. You were the reason they did not. You by your freaking self. You. So to stand up to the media, and I know no one's paying attention now, I can just lie. That's a lie, dude. You're lying. The Nets would have been happy to have you finish out the season and then go on your merry way and not get your max contract that you demanded on. But your feelings were so freaking hurt that they wouldn't give you a full max that instead of saying, all right, I'll play out the string, I'll try to win, you cried like a baby, demanded a trade, and if that's not bad enough, because you have a right to demand a trade, that's fine. You then said, I will not play, I will not suit up unless you trade me. So don't give me this crap. Don't give anyone this crap. Oh, you know, I wanted to finish it out with Brooklyn. You wanted to finish it out with Brooklyn? Well, guess where you're finishing it out now? Out of the freaking playoffs. I haven't said a bad word about this guy. I've let it go. I've let everything that's happened over the last 3 years go. I haven't made a big deal of it. I've defended him numerous times, but this is where it pushes me. I just wanted to finish out in Brooklyn. Stop lying. You demanded out. You wanted out. You cried like a baby, and you're gone. Here's the thing about Durant. Here's what I'm not screaming about him. He's not lying. I haven't heard him lie. He's gone, and I don't care about him anymore. But you want to open up your mouth because everybody lies about you. That's what you claim. We're all a bunch of liars. We're all a bunch of pawns, right? That's what we are. Except you're the one who's lying now. So enough of that crap. And from this day, I don't want to hear about him again. I'm never going to talk about him again. And you want to know why? Because he's irrelevant. Because you're not making the playoffs. You're going to hand the Knicks the 12th pick in the draft. Congratulations, Knicks fans. This is your last laugh at Kyrie Irving. This is great for you. And I congratulate you. But now you get to go home, not make the playoffs. You would have been in the playoffs if you didn't cry like a baby and demand a trade and refuse to play. And then guess what's going to happen in the offseason? No one's going to offer you a max contract. Forget that. No one may offer you a contract. And you are an incredible basketball player. And I loved watching you when you played basketball. And guess what? There's a decent chance none of us will ever watch you again because nobody wants you. And it's crap like this for why? You're a liar. All right. I'm sorry. That annoyed me. I apologize for that tirade. That just pissed me off. I don't like the lying, Big Mac. That's it.
No, I understand. I could tell. You made that clear.
That's my...
Who are you apologizing to? No need to apologize.
I apologize to the audience for losing my mind.
No, it was good.
I have let everything go with
you. You certainly have. You've been more than fair with the guy. I understand you want to be fair to Durant as well, but those three guys ripped your heart out.
Now they want to tell you
it's everybody else's fault but theirs. I mean, I can imagine.
I got no issue with anything Kevin Durant has said. I really don't. Now, I'm not going to root for him. I hope he loses, but I don't like the lies, man. That's what just drives me nuts. It insults our intelligence. That's the problem. Anyhow, I'm done. I got nothing else to say.
That's it?
Right? I just lost my... I just.
You don't want to preview the Met game a little bit? Something? No? Just straight close?
Yeah, David Peterson's pitching. It's Tommy Pham's playing left field and Marcan is DHing. And go Nets. Big game tonight against Atlanta. Good luck to the Knicks. Good luck to the Rangers. And yes, Met fans, enjoy some baseball. I feel bad for our Yankee fan
friends. I'm bummed about it.
They don't have a game to watch. But you can watch our game. You want to watch David Peterson, Jesus Luzardo?
I will. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not going to score it, of course. I have some pride. Score Met games. I can't. As you know, I don't take the game. I don't love taking the book to games, and it's certainly not opening day with my wife and everything. So I left the book at home. So I can't score the first game in the book. Can't be a Met game.
That's fine. Whatever. I don't care about that. So are you going to watch the Knicks, Nets, and Rangers, or is it all exclusively Mets tonight?
I'll keep my eye on everything.
All right. Well, good. Have a great night.
I'm not sure what I'm going to do. You know, I'll just let the night take me. See where it leads.
I'll tell you where the night's taking me. It's taking me to the Mets, the Nets, and the other things are on the background. Back screens, if you will. Anyhow, Big Mac's coming up next with a bridge show. Craig and I will be back Monday. Let me tell you right now, I'll be in the studio Monday.
That'd be nice to see you.
I miss you.
I miss you too, buddy.
We'll be back Monday at 2 o'clock. Big Mac coming up next. Hello, my name is Craig. 9:30 tomorrow. Joe B. Solo at 10 a.m. I feel like I'm always going to give him a plug, you know. Got to do it. Anyhow, have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the baseball, the college basketball, the NBA, the hockey. Good night.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.